Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
It's that time of the week, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
What time of the week is that?
It's Throwback Thursday.
Oh, but you know what? My most exciting news happened yesterday.
Oh, yes, Rob? What is that?
Okay. I'm a huge Neil Simon fan.
Oh, yes.
A massive Neil Simon fan.
You are.
And the first play I ever directed and cast myself in high school, was Plaza Suite.
Was it really?
And lo and behold, yesterday, I got a Broadway news alert saying that Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker are coming back to Broadway in Plaza Suite.
Now that's some casting.
I am over the moon. Have you
ever limited seen run? It's going to come to Broadway at the Hudson Theater,
which we love.
We do love the Hudson
Very
Theater.
Very comfy theater.
A lot of limited runs. They're doing a really good job pumping stuff in. This is the Ambassador Group, I think.
Yes, what it is.
But my goodness, this is going to be sold out.
That's going to be a hard ticket to get.
I'm assuming.
Well, first of all, they're a married couple. They've been married for quite a number of years. I love Neil Simon's work so much, and I feel like he's become sort of passé.
Passé is exactly the word I was going to use, yeah.
But he used to put out a play a year.
Oh, and it wasn't just like, oh, it's a Neil Simon play. It was, it's a Neil Simon. I mean, people, when you read any book, you know, from the 60s and or early 70s, but it was huge. I mean, it was an event.
We don't have any playwrights like that today, do we, where every year they put out something?
Oh, I don't.
Or if they put out something, it's an event.
Yeah, no. I mean, not like the way it was with him, I don't think.
No. And if he wasn't doing a play a year, it was a movie a year.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just incredible.
A year, though.
Yes.
A year. You know, like Lin-Manuel did In the Heights, and then Hamilton. We're excited for whatever he might be writing next, but it's going to be a many years.
Oh,
this
of course.
We're talking like every year, Neil Simon pump one of these guys out. I mean.
And Plaza Suite was the first of his hotel series.
Yes.
So for our listeners who are unaware, because I'll post some high school photos of me in the show.
Yes, please.
Because I, as you know, direct. It was my first directing experience.
And acting?
Oh, I had acted before, but my...
So
but
you were directing yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow, the hubris.
Well, you know, I'm the Kenneth Branagh of Thousand Oaks High School, so I hope you all come see me.
That sentence.
For those of you who are unaware, Plaza Suite was 3 one-act plays that all have the same thing in common, which is they all take place in the same room at the Plaza Hotel in New York.
Indeed.
Originally, it was 2 actors who played all 3 one-acts together. Who played the Matthew Broderick role originally? Do you know?
Was it? No, I don't.
Trivia time, folks.
Is it?
Not necessarily known for his great comic ability, but was a brilliantly funny man. George C. Scott.
Oh, geez.
George C. Scott. And then who played his wife in all of those, or his girlfriend in the second act, his female lead? Not someone you would think is a Sarah Jessica Parker type, Miss Maureen Stapleton.
Oh my God, whoa.
Miss Maureen Stapleton.
She's not going to be in Sex and the City anytime soon.
I would love to see her in Sex and the City. Well, we know from that one video I shared, she sells hot dogs in New York, we'll put her in there. So it's coming back to Broadway. It's an absolutely hysterical piece. Also, there's a part of like a random like bellboy who like shows up later on, originally played by Bob Balaban.
Oh, right.
Who we're trying to get for this podcast.
Yeah,
it would
boy.
Be great to sit down.
The conductor in Waiting for Guffman.
Conductor in Waiting for Guffman.
Sure, he wants to be known by more than just that. But,
yes.
Yeah. But boy, is he good.
He is such a funny, funny actor.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
And Phoebe's dad.
And Phoebe's dad, folks. So there you go.
There you go. Across the spectrum of where you might know Bob Balaban.
Yes. George
Sorry,
C.
Bob.
Scott, Patton, Maureen Stapleton, Cocoon. And
right. Bob Balaban, Guffman.
these people have such incredible pedigrees, and we're like, blah, blah, blah. But I'm very interested to see how the comedy plays in 2020, I should say.
Right.
What I like about these 3 acts, though, is they're all universal enough that I don't think that there's you have to be from the 1960s to find any of this funny.
Right.
The only thing I'm wondering is if they're going to update it. But they probably can't because Neil Simon's passed.
It depends on his estate, I guess, you know, and if they...
I don't know if they... I don't think they're necessary. Well, maybe they are period pieces.
When was the last time we had a Neil Simon? I don't
on
know.
On Broadway?
Yeah.
Jeez, that's what, oh my
Barefoot
God.
In the park? No.
Maybe. Someone's going to be yelling this out to us, being like, it was blah, blah, blah. Yeah, maybe it was Barefoot in the Park. Because the Odd Couple came.
It was Patrick Wilson and like.
It was Patrick and Amanda Pete.
Yeah, I know there's like a film star.
And Jill Clayburgh.
Oh.
And Tony Roberts.
Yeah.
Because Tony Roberts, I think, and Jill Clayburgh, I think, actually had done it. Originally, in the 60s, and they were the younger couple, and got
moved. We've talked
up.
To a lot of people that have. Yeah.
But I love the play. Mm. I am so excited to see it come back to Broadway.
Trying out the Colonial Theater, the historic Colonial Theater. Hey.
And a little trivia for friends out there. Yeah. Just if you're interested in Neil Simon the way I'm interested in Neil Simon, in the original tryouts of Plaza Suite, it was originally a four-act play, mm-hmm. and the opening was a monologue delivered by George C. Scott about a businessman traveling from Ohio to New York that had the most miserable experience whatsoever, and the whole thing is him on the phone recounting to his wife everything that went wrong. They cut it because they were like, this is just very static,
right.
And it became The Out-of-Towners, the movie
No kidding.
Yeah. Maybe,
fun fact.
Maybe Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker will take Nathan Lane and Laurie Metcalf and next season do California Suite, which needs
that
two
was,
couples.
That was good casting right then.
Well, you know, sometimes I like to think about these things. So that's, I'm very excited.
Oh, that's really cool. That's some good Broadway news.
Yes. And anything on your end? Anything you're excited about?
No, I mean, other than Carolina Change, Rob.
Oh, no. You're ready. You've already camped out and bought your tickets.
Oh, yes. You know what I am excited about? There's a, speaking of Carolina Change and Jeanine Tesori, the writer of that, I'm very excited about the Public Theater doing Soft Power, her piece.
Yes.
That's a new show that she has that was done on the West Coast.
It was done at Center Theater Group in LA.
And I think that David Henry Wang is doing the book, and I'm very excited. I think they just announced an extension already. It starts performances later this month, but that's a piece that I want to get a ticket to see.
Great. Maybe that'll transfer at some point too.
Maybe, or maybe not. Only if it makes sense to. Some of her stuff is so heady and smart that I don't want it to happen at that, like what happened to Carolina Change 15 years ago, where it transferred. And thank goodness it transferred to get known, but I don't think it certainly didn't make its money back by the transfer. And I'm wondering if this revival of it this year will put it on the map the way that I believe it should have
been.
Was
that show at the O'Neill, Carolina Change originally? Was that at the Eugene O'Neill originally or no?
I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong. It was the Public that helped develop it.
No. But when it transferred to Broadway, I can't remember.
The theater. I thought you meant the O'Neill Festival. No, like, did it, was it developed in the O'Neill, like into like in the Heights and Violet?
I cannot remember.
I didn't see it on Broadway. I was on national tour then. I saw it at the Amundsen.
Oh, we were on national tour, were we?
Okay. I saw it off Broadway, and then I was on tour with Les Mis for 2 years, and then we were playing the Pantages, and it was playing the Amundsen, and you better believe that my night off, I don't know how, I think I somehow got a ticket to go see it, and I was thrilled. And Chuck Cooper joined the show that night, and he wasn't supposed to. And Tanya Pinkins was amazing, and it was awesome.
That's
two
so
former guests of our
two former fun guests, fact. Two former guests.
I
it's
love
so
that.
Funny. I was going through. We take a selfie with every guest that we have, and I was trying to put them all in a file for one location. It's been so fun to go through.
That's crazy.
And look at all the people that we've interviewed.
Like 100, over 100 now.
And it was so funny. Like I don't know if you do this. When you look at one of these photographs, you go, I remember this or I remember that.
Yep.
There were only a couple I think I looked at and I was like, who's that? Or a couple of, I remember nothing about this interview.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that horrible?
No, we've done so many. It's when someone says, oh, who are some of the, like, I was talking to someone to recommend people to host a benefit, and she was like, so who are some of your favorite people? And you're like, it all runs together in my head.
So
a
my name
bit,
didn't
you know?
Come up as a recommendation.
Unfortunately not.
Why? They wanted a name? They want somebody with a social media following, a blue check mark?
They want someone who actually goes on Twitter?
Oh. I deleted my Twitter.
I know you did.
I never used it. I feel like I'm missing out on something.
That's fine. It's fine.
Am I missing anything on Twitter?
Not really. It's just it's a waste time.
I know it's the president's main source of communication.
It is, yes.
So I don't know if I'm missing anything.
No, you're not
did
at all.
Did he tweet about the Odd Couple?
Oh, my god!
Not the Odd Couple.
Can you imagine?
Plaza Suite. Is he excited? Could he?
He doesn't know theater. He doesn't know the first thing about theater.
Does he?
The man has probably never even been in a theater.
Do he and Melania want to come and?
Can you imagine?
No, he was. He produced something. He produced one Broadway show and it flopped. He really did. I can't remember the name of
it. In My Life.
No. He did In My Life. No, and you know what else he was supposed to produce, but I don't think it never. I know it never came in. Do you remember? Like you were born in the 70s. there was a musical version of W.C. Fields' life story starring Mickey Rooney and Bernadette Peters. And it was supposed to come in. I think they tried out in Boston. Then they were coming into New York by Al Carmines.
Oh, okay.
Was writing it. Mm-hmm. Never came in. Trump was the one of the producers on that.
Wow, a young Trump.
A young Trump who wanted to get into the Broadway theater scene.
Yeah, yeah.
He had to have seen the Will Rogers Follies because he was married to Marla Maples.
Oh, right.
Who was in the Will Rogers
Follies. I
guess
Follies. He did. He saw that at least.
I'm assuming he saw that at some point.
Although, I don't think of him as a good husband, so I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he missed
it. A good husband would have gone.
He was like, yeah, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Then he just never did.
No, he was. I think that was when he was like declaring bankruptcy for the umpteenth time.
Yeah, I couldn't afford it.
Yeah. Yeah, couldn't afford ticket. Those ticket prices are pretty high.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a comp. No house seat at the Palace.
Ugh, enough talking about him.
He could have gone with Van Johnson when they were at the Palace Theater doing Le Cage aux Folles.
Oh, yes.
Starring George Hearn.
There it is.
That's a throwback to one of our favorite things.
And Leroy.
With Van Johnson. Oh, Leroy and the great Van Johnson.
That's right.
Leroy was supposed to replace.
I know.
And Leroy said they were like bus promos of him, like his face saying Le Cage aux Folles with Leroy Reams. Closed.
Sad.
It was supposed to move to which theater, do you remember? They were leaving the Palace and they were moving to the
I don't know.
Mark Hellinger.
Oh, the historic, beautiful Mark Hellinger.
Which was then occupied very quickly, I think, with some, I think Legs Diamond went in.
Yeah, Legs Diamond. I think that was the last show, I think.
What, probably.
I think it was.
Legs Diamond.
And then you can still go visit the Mark Hellinger, you folks. It's the Christian something church of Times Square or whatever. But they've preserved the church and you can go in, you can take tours, you can see the beautiful historic lobby that is just so gorgeous.
It's ironic that My Fair Lady played there and they have a song called Get Me to the Church on Time.
Mm-hmm.
And now the theater is a church.
It literally is a church.
That is irony.
That is a bit ironic.
Thank you. Oh, do we talk yet about the Ryan Murphy chorus line?
Like series, my goodness.
So I don't.
But Ryan Murphy, I mean, we shout out to him preserving and celebrating and translating musical theater to a place that, you know, young people and fans of it can appreciate and learn from, you know, and celebrating the history of musical theater.
So my question though is this a document? Is it a 10-part series about the making of the actual musical Chorus Line,
like Fosse Verdon, kind of like, you know?
Or is it like this? We're gonna follow Cassie's story for an episode, and this is how Cassie got to the line, or this is how Val got to the line.
I hope it's that. I hope it's sort of like their backstory and like their, you know, based on the tapes and all of that. I don't know. I'd be really, really. I mean, no. It seems like that would be a great. I didn't see docu-series at all written in there.
I just assumed for some reason, because he does so much true life stuff.
I know.
I just assumed.
Oh, boy.
And we saw that the Merrily thing is going to get done. It's Ben Platt and Beanie Feldstein.
They're two best friends in life.
Richard Linklater, who did Boyhood, is going to direct this. And
I mean,
25 years.
Who would have thunk that a big old flop from the early 80s by Sondheim is going to be this 20-year, you know, movie phenomenon?
It might look good really, on camera.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's the story is there. I mean, it's a classic Kaufman and Hart story that is, you know, there's a reason why it doesn't go away.
People like to see things in reverse for some reason. People like that in a story.
It's mysterious. It's like, you know, makes you think.
Ooh. Betrayal was like that. Betrayal was
Betrayal goes back just, for the most like part. That. Yeah, I got to see that.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
Not yet. I got to get a ticket.
It's,
I'm waiting for TDF.
I think we're always waiting for TDF. Yeah, every morning I check TDF, same. And I'm like, what do we got today?
I know.
What are you going to give to us now? I'll give you a favorite thing if you give me a favorite thing.
Let's do it.
What's your favorite thing?
Okay, my favorite thing is a little out there. It's a little different, but the more I'm just going to say it. It's Renaissance fairs. I'm going away this weekend on a vacation, and my son and I always go every year to the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. What is a Renaissance Fair, you may ask? My favorite thing is encompassing Renaissance Fairs. I'm going to single out a specific act, but Renaissance Fairs, to me, are don't laugh at me.
I think I know what act you're going to
mention. I think you do. But it's very theatrical, and there's people who make a living all across the country working at these Renaissance fairs. And what they are is that you buy a ticket for like $25 and you go and you show up, and it's a big, the Pennsylvania one is like over 35 acres. It's been going on every single, you know, 13 weeks since 1981. And it's almost like an amusement park that there are stages, there's artisans, there's food, everyone's dressed up in the period Elizabethan garb. Some people even speak with accents as if they are from from that time and say, good morrow, sir, and stuff like that. And it's a place to escape, kind of like Sleep No More, but without the masks, and music played. And there are actors everywhere. And there's a storyline that goes on throughout the day. There's the queen of the Shire. That's the one in Pennsylvania. Every state has multiple Renaissance fairs. And there are actors who make their entire career living, working in these fairs. They do musical acts. They have improv. Some of the acts tour the different fairs. One of my favorite acts that I have to give a shout out is Don Juan and Miguel. They have been doing this for 30 plus years.
So to be clear, is the Renaissance Fair your favorite thing, or is Don Juan and Miguel your favorite thing?
I want Renaissance Fair performers to be my favorite thing.
So that's the headline we're putting
in. I think so. Renaissance Fair performers. But Don Juan and Miguel are my extra favorite ones. I've watched them since I was like 14 or 15. They're still doing this 20 years later, 25 years later. They are the one actor who plays Miguel. He went to school for theater. I mean, he is a theater actor. I found a book on Google Books about how to, you know, different art forms that you can take as a career as an actor. You know, not just going to Broadway doing, you know, theater. There's tons of theaters across the country that you can make a living working at you know, these regional houses or regional cities. But the Renaissance Fair Network is a viable option for some people if that's the life that you want to live. They work almost all weeks. The fairs are on the weekend, and you can work in your entire year round, because if you're working in Texas, that's different season than, like, let's say Pennsylvania, which is like August through October. But I just think it's a weird outside the box thing that is personal for me, but it's really, really fun. It's really, really different. And yet when you walk in, you're kind of like, this isn't so far from the vaudeville world. Like, the Don Juan and Miguel show there's talent, because Don Juan does this whip tricks and everything, which is like a very skilled thing. But their comedy is straight up old vaudeville. It's slapstick. It's silly. It's funny. They've been doing some of the same jokes for years and years and years. And yet they approach it very much, very serious. And it's very special to them. And it's an art form to them. And the whole time I watch the show, I am often thinking about the theatrical roots that so many of these shows take place in, and that they're inhabiting characters. It's very silly. It's funny, but it's a craft, and they're very proud of what they're doing, these Renaissance Fair performers. And so I want to give a shout out to them, and they are my favorite thing this week.
Is this your way of saying you're leaving me and you're starting a career in the Renaissance Fair?
It's a bit like Carney's, a little bit. It's a little like one step, live in like an RV, drive around to all these fairs. No, I'm never going to do that. But if I ever want to retire, that might be a good option.
So I have to like find whichever Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I'm going to go see Kevin today.
If New Yorkers, there's one that's about 45 minutes away called the New York Renaissance Fair. That's huge.
And you dress up, right?
Oh, we dress up. Yeah, every year, like Sutton always dressed up. And then every year, if you don't dress up, you kind of feel like an outcast. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to dress up. Sure. It's fun. You get to just jump in. And so every year I dress up more and more. Now I've got an outfit. And we're dressing up our baby Crawford. We have a t-shirt. We have a little onesie. Okay. We have a little crown that he's going to wear.
Okay.
And he has a little onesie that his great-grandpa is an artist, Ron Crawford. And he wrote, it says Mad King Crawford on it, because he's going to cry, and he's going to be crazy, and he's going to be Mad King Crawford. He's got little crowns on his little shoes.
Adorable.
We bought little pantaloons on Etsy. Oh my gosh, Rob, wait.
Oh, this is so cute.
I will post a picture and you guys can all see, but it's going to be really, really cute. And it's every weekend has a theme. So this weekend, the theme is Pirate Weekend. So we are dressed more like pirates.
Arr, yes. What's that old joke? What's a pirate's favorite movie? One that's rated R.
That's really bad. That's good dad humor right there, Rob.
I'm going to give you some dad jokes there. I'll give you another dad joke.
Oh, yeah?
Well, no, this isn't a dad joke. No, it's not. I'm going to give you a joke anyway. Tell me if you like this one.
Okay.
Stop me if you've heard this one before.
Okay.
Okay? So there's a guy sitting at a bar, right? And the guy next to him taps him and says, hey, listen. He goes, if you order this kind of beer, it's magical. And it can actually make you fly. The guy's like, that's not true. And the guy's like, watch me. So he orders this beer. He drinks it down. He's like, come with me to the roof. Get up on the roof. The guy jumps off, literally flies around in circles around the building, comes back and says, see, I told you. So this guy is like, oh, my God, I've never flown. I'm going to go down there and do it. He runs downstairs. He drinks the beer. He runs back up, jumps off the roof, falls all the way down to his death. Now, the other guy who convinced him to do this goes back down to the bar. The bartender looks at him and goes, you know, when you drink, you're a real asshole, Superman. Thank you.
Good one.
Thank you.
It's nice.
You want to go back to R.
Yeah.
Rated R.
What's your favorite thing, Rob?
Obviously, not jokes.
No, it's because it wasn't improv. Because you're funniest when you have that quick humor.
I don't
you
work
kill
well
me.
With structure. That's when I went to a job interview. Someone says to me, "What's
my
your...
best asset is actually my worst."
My best asset is my worst. That's beautiful.
It's very Michael Scott.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I have, well, you know what I can give you? No,
I don't want to make you give me a favorite thing the way you're acting right now. You're like, well, I guess if I need to.
I don't know if you want something. Really? If you want something. Okay. I was either going to give you a book or a recording, and I think I'm going to do the recording.
Ooh, good. I was going to ask for that.
The book, just so you... The book I was going to try to make fit, I'm going to recommend this book that people should just read on their own.
Okay.
It sort of covers what we do, but it's more about other things. There's a wonderful book out there called The Comedians by Cliff Nesterhoff.
Okay.
Isn't that a great name?
Yeah.
Cliff Nesterhoff, K-L-I-P-H. Nesterhoff. And it traces the history of stand-up comedians from the beginning of America all the way up until present day.
You like comedians, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Because I think it's such a brilliant art form.
Yeah.
There's something so arrogant slash dangerous about 200, you standing in front of 200
right.
people saying, I'm going to make you laugh.
Yeah, you're all going to laugh when
you're
I'm done with
gonna
you.
Laugh.
Yeah. It's a guarantee.
It's a guarantee.
Yeah.
But what the cool thing about this book, especially for us, is it covers the beginnings of vaudeville and burlesque. Mm. And as we know, in the beginnings of musical theater, so much of vaudeville and burlesque was the feeding ground for where people were then going
right. to... Top like, Banana. You
know, here's Top Banana.
Right.
Al Jolson, successful in vaudeville. Yeah. Let's write a musical
Bert
for
Lahr. Bert Lahr. I'm thinking Lahr. Of all of them. Yeah,
exactly.
All those guys.
And then
yeah.
all that shtick being integrated. Yeah. And so if you guys get a chance, read The Comedians. It's a fantastic
cool.
book. No, what I'm going to give you today is a recording.
Ooh.
And it's a recording that's... campy goodness. Campy goodness. I'm going to ask you a question.
I love campy goodness,
we
Rob.
We talked about... Don't look at the screen. You can't look at the screen, because if you look at the screen, you're going to see what it is. So I'm going to ask you a question, Kevin. Last time, we got into a little bit of a debate about the Wild Party. And so I realized there's probably some other controversial things in theater. Mm. So I'm going to ask you your opinion on an individual, and you're going to tell me yay or nay.
Okay.
Okay, here
I
we
hope
go.
I know it.
Oh, you'll
okay.
Yes. Yay or nay, Jerry Herman.
Yay.
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 Okay. How come?
I think that he's very underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's a superb songwriter. And I read somewhere, I was just telling my students about, you know, how when you pick songs, you really need to have a beginning, middle, and an end. And that I read somewhere that he wrote his songs. He wrote the beginning, wrote the ending, because he wanted the character to go somewhere. And then he would fill out the rest of the song. I think he writes really great songs. The reason why people dislike him is the reason why I often like him, because there's hummable, toe-tapping tunes.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Some people...
And he knew when to get out. He was like, I'm done. I'm out. Bye. I'm retired.
Lacan.
See ya.
Yeah. He's like, I'm ending on a hit.
He's like, yeah, good. Yeah. F you, Sondheim, basically.
Basically at the Tony
yeah.
Awards. He's like, well, that wasn't directed at Sondheim.
Yes, it
like,
was.
That's directed at Sondheim.
Oh, you like actual popular music, you know? Okay. You
it's can still... alive and well at the
exactly.
palace.
Exactly. Okay.
At the Palace Theater.
Yeah.
Starring George Hearn.
And I like, I do, you know, as much as I like a Michael John Lacusa Wild Party, I like intellectual music. I like Adam Gettle. I love a good old fashioned Broadway melody. I have both tastes. You know what I mean? I like both stuff.
Okay, great. Yeah. Some people I know are allergic to him.
Yes.
In some way, shape, or form. I am on your side. I am not allergic to him whatsoever. I think he's fabulous. And so what I'd like to recommend to all my lovely folks out there is an album that you can find on Apple Music. You can find it on YouTube as well. It's called Tap Your Troubles Away, The Words and Music of Jerry Hearn.
I don't know this.
It's called Tap Your Troubles Away, The Words and Music of Jerry Hearn. So, did you find it?
I found it on Spotify already.
Thank God. So, all right. Well, first of all, folks.
Oh.
You're going to see, like, all of our guests.
Karen Morrow.
Have made an appearance in this thing. You have Kevin Morrow. You have Nancy Dussault. Jason Grah. Charlotte Ray.
Ken God Page. Bless her.
Ken Page.
Leroy.
Leroy's on it. Doug Sills wants to be on our show. Carol Cook. I'm serious. Doug Sills wants to be.
Sam Harris. Sam Harris.
So, folks, growing up in Los Angeles, let me explain to you what we do out there for theatrical entertainment, just so you understand. Once a year, there's something. there's something that we, it's so funny. In New York, you take this for granted. In New York, you can be like, oh, tonight there's a concert of Sondheim's work with all of the original Sondheim cast members. In LA, we don't really have that.
Yeah.
So once a year, there was a group out there called Stage, STAGE, Stage. And they would do like a celebration of a composer, right?
Oh, yeah.
With questionable casting choices.
And arrangements sometimes. There's a Lerner Lowe album.
Oh.
That some, I mean, even when I was in like 21, I was like, what's going on here?
That's what I'm going to warn
Lerner
you.
Lerner Lane Lowe. That's what it was. Yeah.
Oh, they also did ABC.
Yes.
Adler, Bach, and Coleman. Yes. No, seriously.
No, I know.
Yeah, there's no joke.
No, I know that album as well.
Yeah, there's no
questionable
joke here.
Casting. Too.
So this one, folks, was a celebration of Jerry Hearn. Now, you're going to hear some wonderful things in here. Rita Moreno is genius. Charlotte Ray sings Chin Up Ladies from Milk and Honey, a very underrated show.
Yes, I agree.
Nancy Dussault does a great job of Where in the World Is My Prince. Leslie Uggams, of course, if he walked into my life, which is sort of her standard. Then you're going to have some questionable arrangements. I'm not going to mention anyone specifically. But you're going to hear, nobody directs these things. There was this director listed, but I don't know what this person did. No offense. I don't know what they did. Because you're going to hear some choices. Not only just choices in the singing, but choices in the orchestration, which all sounds like a MIDI file.
So Jerry must not have been there.
I don't think he showed. He showed up at the end.
But he wasn't like hosting it like he usually does.
No,
like he
wasn't playing. I think he just flew in and was like, what do you got for me?
Okay.
The cool thing, though, is like you get to hear some really what it does nicely, I think, is celebrate the genius that is behind this man who is not as appreciated. I will say this. I think Sondheim is God's gift to the world. I really do. But I can't take another review of his work. I need another Jerry Hearn review. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I'm going to say
I'm okay with that.
If I have to see one more time that, like, we're going to do the scene change music of Sondheim shows.
I will say that, like, Sondheim's music and lyrics are more intertwined with the story than perhaps, and that's not a diss to Jerry Hearn.
No.
But the Jerry Hearn songs lift up out of the shows perhaps a little bit easier.
Exactly.
Maybe not Grand Tour, but, like, for the most part, you know, lifts up out of, you can hear a whole hodgepodge of them and be like, oh, this is fun. This is a fun evening. I love these songs.
Exactly.
But Sondheim, you're like, all right, well, this is, I read is like not exactly a toe tapper, you know?
What? Not in my version.
I read. This concert version, it would have been.
This concert version. You're also going to listen to my favorite instrument known to man, the synth. It literally.
This was like what, 2002?
2002.
Or so. Yeah, you know. They were, in the 90s, they loved.
And they did that thing that you and I love on these albums, which is, you know, a singer walked in and they said, I'm going to sing it, but I have an idea. And as soon, you know what I'm talking about.
Every idea is like, yes, of course.
And you have to be like, of course.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to sing this up tempo as slow as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're like, what in God's name
why would you do
is
that?
Happening. Yeah. So you're going to have some really brilliant things like I mentioned. You're also going to have some of those, what am I listening to? But here's the big thing, which I think is really fun. So, and it's this video at the end is on YouTube. Bernadette Peters sings Time Heals Everything, which is like fabulous.
But she's done it in concerts before. Right. She knows this. This is like a
and
standard.
And then I think this is such a cool idea. They do the title number of Hello Dolly and Mame. But Angela Lansbury comes out and sings Dolly. Mm. And Carol Channing comes out and sings
Brilliant.
Mame.
Brilliant.
And they all come together at the end. And then Jerry Herman sings I'll Be Here Tomorrow, which is a
it's
nice way to end
the, and sweet.
It's yes. a great way to end the concert.
Yes.
So, folks, I encourage you to listen to it. There's lots of good things on there. Tyne Daly puts on a French accent and sings from Dear World. I love me some Tyne Daly.
I love me some Dear World.
It's very hard to hear Tyne Daly sing without thinking of her, like, from Cagney and Lacey. And I know that she's this brilliant actress.
Yes, of course.
But I just hear that voice. Like that. Hav! Yeah. I just hear that voice in my head while she's singing about, you know, Shio and all that fun stuff. We also have some... Did you? Okay, I don't know, because you didn't grow up in like a major metropolitan town, right?
No, quite the opposite.
So for us in Los Angeles, I'm so sorry this is offending anybody, and I don't mean to sound offensive. In this era, there were two people that were in every single musical in the Los Angeles area. Like, no matter what, you knew these two people were going to be in it. It was Davis Gaines.
Of course.
And Dale Christian. Do you know Dale Christian?
No. Davis Gaines, though, yes.
Davis Gaines and Dale Christian, just so you're aware, folks, were the longest people in the L.A. Phantom Company. Davis Gaines is a great actor. So is she. But, like, his thing is like, he's the longest
say,
running.
Like, Lisa Vrooman or something
he's the
like
longest
that.
Running L.A. Phantom. Okay. And Dale was the longest running, like, Christine.
Yeah.
And these two were hired for everything.
Yeah. They had the cred. They had, like, the name.
Every musical, you would look on the poster, and you would be like, oh, we're doing the Addams Family. And you're like, let me guess who's going to play Gomez. Could it be Davis Gaines, LA's longest running phantom? Because that's how he's billed. I swear to God.
You're like Sweeney Todd, New York Philharmonic with Davis Gaines as
LA's
Anthony,
longest running phantom. I was doing a show in LA once, and I asked the artistic director, I said, oh, what are you doing next? And they're like, oh, we're doing, we're doing Kiss Me, Kate. I said, oh, who's playing the lead? And he said, literally, he goes, oh, it's Davis Gaines, LA's longest running phantom.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, you could have just said Davis
Gaines. You could
just
stop with Davis Gaines.
But, like, that's how he was introduced. Oh, Davis Gaines, LA's longest running phantom.
All right, then.
Dale Christian. Did I ever tell you I used to work for a Rec and Park district?
Yes, you did. I think your listeners, he has. Yes.
So one of the things we used to have to do was, like, run their summer concerts in the park.
Yes.
And she was always our guest. Dale Christian was the coolest person I ever met in my life.
That's nice.
Coolest person I ever met in my life. Aww. She always made sure they were like, oh, what do you need in your rider? And she goes, I don't need anything. She's like, bring me a beer. And she's like, get one for yourself, too.
Okay.
And I was like, I can't do that because then, you know, I can't do that. I'm on clock. She goes, I ain't going to tell anybody. She was the best.
That's cool.
She was the absolute best. So anyway, they're on this album, too.
Okay, all right. Like, check them out, too.
I was just wondering if
context.
Yeah, I like somebody has to.
Yeah.
But after you listen, you can go on YouTube and watch the clip of Angela Lansbury and Carol Channing singing.
They got some real, big names for this.
This was, Leroy. Duh, Leroy was in it. Leroy sings
Speaking
Lacoche
of big names.
And goes through all of his impressions.
Oh, Leroy.
Tallulah Bankhead, Marlena Dietrich, Mae West.
All of his old friends.
All of his old friends. Those impressions
some
of
Tammy
all of
Grimes,
his old
maybe.
A little he does a good Tammy Grimes. Yeah. He told me a story once. I'm going to have to, on our In Memoriam episode, I'm going to have him recount it.
Did he already tell us it in that episode?
I can't remember.
Was it off air?
Passed.
I can't remember.
This was a different.
Because she did. It was about because she had passed and we had talked about her.
He told a story about when they were trying to do the 42nd Street commercial.
Oh.
And nobody wanted to get it. They weren't going to pay the actors for it. And she, like, made, like, some sort of, I think, intoxicated speech about, like, I have a friend at Public Access and he'll do it for free. And, like, and nobody knew what the hell she was talking about. I'll have him
Amazing.
Tell it.
All right.
I'll have him tell it.
We'll have to remember.
You know what movies Leroy does not watch? Ones that are rated R.
Gonna say ones that are on TCM, but
no, he'll watch those
exactly.
If it's on,
has to be on that. I mean,
if it's on HBO, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He asked me yesterday, whatever happened to Marjorie Main? And if you don't know who that is, Google and you'll laugh. Right. She's still around.
Oh my god,
is Marjorie Main still around?
So, what's your album again? One more time.
Oh my god, sorry.
No,
it's Tap Your Troubles Away.
Tap Your Troubles
the
Away.
Words and music. of Jerry.
Good old
Herman.
Jerry Herman.
What's your favorite Jerry Herman song?
Oh boy, boy, you're putting me on the spot right now.
I'll tell you mine.
What's yours?
Oh, I just thought of another one.
I think "Kiss Her Now" is one of my favorites.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Is a I don't want to know. Is also a good World. One. Yeah.
I Won't Send Roses, I think, is genius.
Yeah, I think Mac and Mabel, the overture to Mac and Mabel, is one of my favorite pieces of music of his.
Oh, that overture is just like puts you on cloud nine.
So good.
If you want to hear something really cool, you know, because Irving Berlin mentored Jerry Herman. Irving Berlin mentored Jerry Herman. Barbara Cook mentions that in one of her concerts, and she sings a medley of What'll I Do and Time Heals Everything.
Oh, wow.
And it works really beautifully together.
I can hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So just putting that out there, too.
That's great. Check out that album. And go to a Renaissance fair. Look one up. There's one nearby somewhere where you live. Go explore. Get lost. Have fun. Enjoy the entertainment and the music and the theatrics and the comedy, because you will have a good time. And it's cheap.
People can tweet you, right?
Yeah, sure. Come at me.
Saying where is the Renaissance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's Wikipedia pages that have. You would be shocked how many there are. There's a Wikipedia page that literally lists all of the Renaissance fairs across the country. And we're like the only country that really does this, because why else would you? But it started in post-World War II, and it's just taken off since then.
Really?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
been
yeah.
about that long?
Yeah, it's been post-World War II is when it really got popular. Americans had a little extra money and wanted entertainment. And so this idea of dressing up in this Elizabethan garb, you know, became very, very popular. And many of them have been going on for decades in the same spot. They have actual physical home locations, and that, you know, some of them are, I mean, this one, the Pennsylvania one, 13 weeks, only weekends. It pulls in almost 500,000 people, I think, a year, a quarter of a million people a year.
Let me ask you a stupid question. Yeah. Is Robin Hood Renaissance?
It can be. They break the rules easily. Like, it depends. Like, William Shakespeare is a character at this one, and it's usually the late 1400s is usually the time period, the Renaissance, early Renaissance period.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. I didn't know
it's
that.
It's silly and fun.
I'll go.
Check it out.
I see people eat.
And when you go and listen to this album on your way there.
If you see Davis Gaines or Dale Christian said, at the Renaissance Fair.
Exactly.
Say hi.
Good work.
And could you sing Music of the Night? Yeah, but it's a Renaissance Fair, so ye Music of the Night.
It'd be like, ye old exactly. Music of the That's Night.
That's right. Yeah, I like that ye old. All right. Goodbye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.